Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and good morning to our listeners to 91.3 FM audio streaming at www.vocfm.co.za 95 FM in the Borland and 90.7, 90.9 ocean to ocean. In this segment focusing on what is happening in the Western Cape hospitals, and with me we have head of nursing department, that is Mr. Ahmed Mohammed. Mr. Mohammed, assalamu alaikum to you and a warm welcome.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
You know, let me just paint the picture to our listeners. This is a young man who grew up in the heart of Manenberg, alhamdulillah. He's been overseas, worked overseas in various hospitals, but, you know, took back to his roots, alhamdulillah. And look at the position that he currently holds as head of nursing at the department at Groteske Hospital, alhamdulillah. So, Ahmed, just coming back, you know, and speaking about COVID-19, and I think lots of people want to know, does that mean that our appointments are going to be cancelled? Because we've heard about the elective cancellation of surgery as well at many of the hospitals. Tell us more about this, but first let's greet the listeners.
Okay, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to Aisha Lato and also all the listeners, Voice of the Cape listeners. So shukran for the invitation. You know, we really appreciate opportunities like this, as we know that there is a situation out there all across the world, and we need platforms like this to share the information. This is a very serious situation, but I think South Africa is taking a good stance. The main message here is we need public cooperation. We need people to work with us. These are not the rules made by the government or by the president. These are what needs to happen. So we're going to talk about a few things, and whatever we say, we just need people to listen to us, and this is the only way we're going to win this battle, if we work together as one.
Indeed. And I love that you mentioned to work together as one, and there were questions earlier. We'll just try to get back to those questions as well, because people, like I've said, wanted to know. So with regards to, you know, I have a clinic appointment at OPD. What do I do? Will they contact me, or do I contact hospital?
Yeah. I think it's important for me just to put it into context, Auntie Aisha. So basically, if you look at our outpatients department, for example, at any given morning, we have between 500 and 800 people in a given area.
Yes.
The virus loves that. And we can't entertain this for that virus. So we need to eliminate that situation.
Yes.
As we know, the president always said we must try and have no big gatherings, for example.
Yes.
So our patients who have outpatients appointments, please don't worry, don't panic. We have a system in place where we will contact the patient and we will give them a later appointment. We want people to know that we're not going to throw them away, forget about them. We have a very smart system at the hospital, so we know who's supposed to be there and who needs to contact that patient or the family to make sure we give them a follow-up appointment in due course. We don't know how long this is going to carry on, but we want to reassure patients that we're not throwing them away. They always be our patients, and we are there to provide quality patient care.
So obviously there are days when your patients, when they have an appointment to see doctor or other, just to collect their medication as well. So how does that work?
The same for the medication. If you look at our medication, there's also hundreds and hundreds of patients. So our pharmacy, again, the system, we know who's coming. We will contact the patient. When they do come in, we will give them at least 2 months supply or 3 months supply, which means they don't have to come every month. So we're also trying to get less people into the hospital as possible. So again, there are systems in place. We will make contact with those patients.
Indeed. Ahmed, when we say less people in hospital, we're looking at, you know, patients themselves. And I know that beds are spaced, but we're looking at visitation for those patients as well. Tell us more about this and what the stance is of the hospital.
Shukran for that question. So as you know, we're in Cape Town, and if somebody is sick, you know, the way we are brought up, go and visit the sick.
Yes.
You know what? Allah's not going to punish us. This is a life-threatening situation. So we have implemented last week already. So we said instead of 3 o'clock in the afternoon and 7 o'clock, we only have one visiting time, and that's from 7 o'clock in the evening until 8 in the evening. No other visiting will be allowed at any other time unless the doctor contacts you or the nurse contacts you to come in. There's also one visitor only will be allowed. What we're seeing is now people are trying to be clever. So now the patient goes outside to meet with 10 or 20 people, and that's putting the whole community at risk. Mm-hmm. So all we're asking is for people to cooperate with us. This is not going to be there forever. you know, rather manage this as soon as we can. Alhamdulillah, I must say, last week we have seen people are listening to us, but you also find people that are just stubborn and they try and fight with the nursing staff and fight with the doctors. This is for our own goodwill. We saw also last week the schools are closed now, so granny comes to the outpatients or to see the doctor with 10 grandchildren. That's defeating the purpose. Again, to our community, we love you, we want to work with you, but you need to work with us as well. You must remember the doctors and the nurses and all healthcare workers are putting their lives at risk as well. So they come to work to protect all of us. So I think we need to also play our part of the game as well.
You know, you're saying playing your part of the game, and I think, you know, the less feed the better, not just for the patients and the family, but also for the nursing and the doctors and the staff working at hospital as well. What precautionary measures have you taken, and what, how prepared are you?
So, you know, part of our jobs in general is we always look at what might be, what must happen, what, you know what I'm saying? So even when it started, as healthcare professionals, you must think ahead of yourself. You must think months ahead of yourself. So what we do, for example, at Groteske, I'm part of the executive management. We meet every day in the morning. So we have a normal departmental meeting at 8, but we also have a meeting. So the executive managers meet with the CEO every day at 9 o'clock. And the goalpost changes every single day because we find out new research about this virus every single day. So communication is of utmost importance. And I can guarantee you, not Groteske alone, all healthcare facilities for the Department of Health, we are communicating now more than ever.
Ahmed, what precautionary measures do you have? Because we all know that people come in with the bags. What advice would you give them, you know, because Osama's made us a sucker water, I'm going to say,
Exactly. So as you know, and I'm happy to see when I entered downstairs, you got your hand sanitizers, even on the desk. I think there's 2 bottles of hand sanitizers here. So you know what? That's good sign for us. And I know I visited a few family members on the weekend, you know, even though we're trying to self-isolate, but I see the Cape Townians are doing this, South Africans are doing this. So that's a good start. At hospitals, we ask people before they get to hospital, make sure you are clean, make sure you disinfect your hands.
Yes.
You don't need these fancy hand sanitizer. Soap and water is very effective as well. So please do that. When you are the one person visiting your loved one at the hospital, don't touch your loved one. Clean your hands. Also, social distancing. I mean, the president said it. Everybody's saying social distancing, but often you find people are still standing on the corners, like literally on top of one another. This virus loves that. So can I ask people to please stay away from big family gatherings even? At least 1.5 meters. That's very safe. And big family functions, try and get away from that as well.
Okay. Ahmed, does this mean that OPD is closed down for now?
OPD, so what we have is we have lots of clinics. So what we're saying is our emergency OPD clinics. So, for example, we have a hand clinic. So somebody was maybe in a car accident last week, and so it's now they need a follow-up by a specialist. But, you know, hands is a very... there's a lot of nerve endings, for example. So those are emergencies. Again, if you're not sure, you can call the hospital and you can actually the hospital call you. Don't you call the hospital. They will call you to let you know when and when not to come. So only emergency OPD clinics. If it's not an emergency and you know what an emergency means, do not go to any healthcare institution. I beg of you not to do that.
Ahmed, you have your medical wards, your surgical wards, and then you have your psychiatric wards, if I can put it that way.
Yeah.
The protocol for both, for all these departments, do they differ? Tell us about it.
So even though we have different specialities, like you mentioned, mental health, psychiatry, maternity, this virus don't ask you where you work.
Yes.
This virus is anywhere and everywhere. So you apply the same principles in any healthcare institution, be it big, small, you name it. The same principles apply. So what we call is infection prevention control principles. And you know, these two hands is the biggest culprits. I'm going to repeat myself again. Your two hands is the biggest culprits. I see the whole of Cape Town is now thinking it's cool to wear a face mask. It's not cool. The face mask must be worn when instructed by a medical doctor. Also remember, and I'm going to reiterate this, you know, all across the world, everybody wants face masks. We're only at the beginning stages of this situation.
Yes.
When we're going to have to need it at some stage, rather work with these things sparingly, because all across the world, there's a shortage of a lot of things, masks being one of them. So rather use it appropriately now, then later on, you're going to be sorry for not having the stuff in place.
Indeed, Ahmed, you know, listening to one of our IMA over the weekend when he says that South Africa is the country second in line when it comes to where the virus spread the fastest. So what is it, you know, that you mentioned the hands being the culprits, but we're also looking at, you know, if you're healthy, don't go to hospital because because that is where germs lurk most of the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we're looking at, you know, being in your taxi, we're looking at being in the malls. Somebody was saying, yeah, you know what, in Mitchell's Plain, it seems that the people don't have the scare yet because they're still at the shops as if nothing is happening. What advice would you want to give? Because these are the same people who's going to come and visit their family in hospital.
Exactly. So if you're healthy or sick, whichever way, stay away from healthcare institutions, unless it's a dire emergency. The other thing is, yesterday I just took a drive. I live close to the radio station, but I took a drive to certain areas, and I can tell you now, it looked like any other normal day. We cannot have business as usual. We cannot have business as usual. So stay at home. We encourage that. The more people are staying at home, we're going to be able to manage and control the spread of this virus. But people are still way too much outside. They also encourage people to work from home. And alhamdulillah, some companies are very good at that. I can see people already starting to work from home. Mm-hmm. But not every business can do that. Like healthcare, for example.
Yes.
You can't look after patients when you're at home. But if you work for a company and you can take leave during this time, I encourage you to do that now.
This one says, sister, I have an appointment at the vascular clinic on the 3rd of April in, and I'm disabled. Must I worry?
Like I said, all the outpatients departments will contact all our patients with appointments. There are systems in place, so we know exactly, like, if the patient says she's due for next week, so we contact all those patients who are due for next week. We won't let them just, you know what I'm saying? So there will be communication. If you find that by the end of the week, nobody has contacted you, now that I've spoken to you, call the hospital. But ideally, we will call everybody else.
Okay, and this one says, Auntie Aisha, what if I was booked for an operation and the date will that still take place at the hospital, what then?
Again, for even operations, we call it elective list. So every doctor or nurse who are expecting a patient, say if a patient goes for a tonsillectomy, for argument's sake, we know the patient is coming next week. So those people will be called and explain that they're not supposed to come unless the doctor feels it's an urgent thing. Other than that, we're not doing any elective surgeries because, like I said, this virus wants people to be together in one space. Obviously, no operations, we're opening skin. You're opening, exposing organs.
Yes.
We cannot afford that. So if it's an emergency, we will never turn emergencies away. But if it's any standard elective, which means you got an appointment, as a hospital, we promise we will contact you.
Okay, this one's asking a very good question. What about chemo patients? Do they attend?
The chemo patients, again, some of the services goes on. So if the sister or the doctors don't contact you, but most of our chemo patients will continue.
Okay. Ahmed, we're looking at, you know, nursing staff and doctors and yourselves working at the hospitals as well. And I know you say washing the hands because that is the culprits, but what measures are you taking? Because obviously you in the line, you know, front line there, you know, of what is happening, anything can, you know, happen to you as well. So what are you doing?
So again, there's a lot of work goes into this because at the end of the day, our business is patient care, delivering quality patient care. And I can reassure all of our listeners and everyone across the planet that, you know, as not just Chronic Care, as a Department of Health, we are very much organized in this manner. Like we said, for example, now, you know, doctors get sick, nurses get sick, porters, cleaners, you name it. We also get sick. But we also have a strategy for making, like, for example, OPD now, outpatients will have less people coming, which means those nurses will be rerouted. This morning before I came here, that is basically what I was been doing.
Okay.
Because we will have medical surgical wards will be extra busy now. So we will reroute those people from the OPD to go and work in certain areas. So we got our house in order.
Like
Aisha,
it or not, you'll have to go and work there, isn't it?
Even myself, you can see my sleeves are old.
Yes, of course. This one says, what about doctors that do not wear protective clothing?
Okay, so like I said, at Chronic Care and the rest of the Department of Health, there's been a lot of education and training. You know, people assume now because of coronavirus, every doctor, every nurse must wear what they saw on TV.
Yes.
You know, those funny suits or the mask. And doctors will only wear it, or healthcare professionals will only wear it when there's a need for it to wear it.
Okay.
Imagine a doctor goes and consults you in the wedding. It's going to put you off. It's going to put you... You know what I'm saying? To make you anxious. So healthcare workers will only wear it when it's necessary to wear it. There's no need for us to wear a mask unless we are exposed to a patient. You understand?
Listeners, we're speaking to Ahmed Mohammed, Head of Nursing Department at Chronic Care Hospital. There's a question here, Ahmed, that says, what about immunization? My baby had chickenpox, so couldn't go for his six-week immunization.
Yeah.
Then his brother had it, and he couldn't go again. He's 8 weeks now. What should I do?
So again, for those clinics as well, when for example, kids, they have a immunization schedule. You know what? It doesn't mean they have to go on that particular day. Okay. You know, our bodies are immune, but the clinics, I know they will contact those families as well. But it doesn't mean you must get it like today, because now, like, family planning is different.
Yes.
Family planning, you need to get it on a certain day before, et cetera, et cetera. Baby clinics or baby immunizations, the clinic will contact those mommies because they want it now. But it doesn't mean because they're a day too late, the child will get sick tomorrow. No.
Do you think it's important for people to take the flu vaccine?
Definitely. I know a lot of people don't believe in it. So this vaccine that's out there is currently for the, you know, the normal flus that you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have medical aid or don't have medical aid, but the injection is not that expensive, I would encourage people to get the vaccination now already. I mean, we might end up with a coronavirus kind of vaccine soon, but don't wait for that. Protect yourself, eat healthy, do exercise at home.
Let's touch on that when we come back from this ad break. Listeners,
perfect.
Please stay tuned.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
Assalamu alaikum, listeners, and a warm welcome. I still have our head of nursing department at Rudiski Hospital, that is Mr. Ahmed Mohammed, in studio with us. And it says, there's a message that came through that says she has an eye test appointment this Wednesday at the local hospital in Paddo, but is scared to go there as she doesn't want to be exposed to more than 100 people. Must she still go as she doesn't know what to do?
Okay, I'm not sure familiar with which hospital she's talking about, but if it's Department of Health facility, we actually discourage people from going to any healthcare facility. And for all the Department of Health, they will contact the patients, like I mentioned early on. So I'm not sure which hospital the person is referring to, but try and stay away from any clinics unless it's an emergency. And I think we all know what emergencies mean.
Ahmed, yes, one that says, Salams, my daughter is 7 months pregnant. Must she do the follow up appointments in hospital? Any measure in place if one cannot go to the hospital to give birth?
Okay, so obviously nobody can stop a birth from happening. So that will carry on as per normal. And again, people who has had babies before, they know contractions. What is real contractions? What is not real contractions? So, I mean, when somebody's in labor, I mean, the show must go on.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Ahmed, this one says, please ask Ahmed Mohammed in studio with Auntie Aisha Latu, if one has got a slight flu symptoms, if one still go for flu vaccination, which is available at the moment.
Again, that is something that you're going to have to speak to your pharmacist about or your doctor. I mean, most people who need vaccination, they need to go for the vaccination. I mean, most doctors will probably encourage the person to go back maybe 2 days later when they're better, but I always say go to your GP who's going to administer the drug to you, or phone the GP even, instead of going to the GP.
Ahmed, yes, one that says, I would like to know if I have an appointment for the doctor at the day hospital, will they cancel, and shukran, my script needs to be renewed.
Yeah.
It's at the D6 Woodstock Day Hospital.
Okay, so again, the same situation will happen now. So you try, and I mean, we all know what the day hospitals look like. There's hundreds and hundreds of people. So again, they fall under the Department of Health, and we discourage people from getting together like that. So I'm not familiar with what is their plan. So maybe the person can maybe call the hospital, but we encourage people to maybe get 2 months supply then to prevent them from going again every month to get medication. So my advice is rather call the hospital if she's got medication due to them.
This one says, can Allah ask Ahmad, what are the risks for pregnant females during this COVID and they suffer from severe morning sickness and have no appetite?
I mean, severe morning sickness. We all know what morning sickness is like. Everybody gets morning sickness very, very differently. All I can say to the listener is, you know what? Follow the basic principles of infection prevention and control. Stay at home and you will be fine. Stay away from the big crowds. Just like I said, look after yourself. And if you're pregnant, you should be the last person in big crowds. That's my biggest advice to you. Stay at home and be safe.
Ahmed, this one question is that I'm due for a hysterectomy tomorrow at UCT Medical. Is it still in order and safe to go? And then should she make contact with the doctor or not?
I think so. UCT Medical, obviously that is private. I'm not sure what is their stance, but I suggest that she calls, because normally the private doctor and the patient will have a better, kind of a closer communication. So either call the doctor at UCT or call the hospital, and they will give you clear guidelines if you should or should not go.
This one says, my grandson, 2 years, has fever and coughing. 2 days, doesn't want to eat. Yesterday, I found the hotline and they said I must monitor him and get to Grooteske Hospital if he's short of breath too. I think he's short of breath, but he's small, so he can't say.
Okay.
So just to check, how do you know that your child that cannot speak to you is short of breath?
Okay, so we know now that he's 2 years old.
Yes.
2 year-olds are prone to all sorts of infections. So I think it's mommies or grannies, you know what a child normally behaves like.
Yes.
If the child abnormally starts crying at 2 years old, for example, and he's just short of breath, is when the child when he struggles to talk, for example, you know 2 year-olds are chatterboxes. But if the chatterbox is struggling to talk, that means there's something wrong. You can see his chest is moving, or her chest is moving faster than normal.
Yes.
Then I'd say worry. But I think if she called the hotline, and we have experts behind the line, you know, when you call the hotline, listen to their advice. So if she's concerned, maybe call later on today if the child gets sicker, if she's concerned. But again, call before you go to the hospital.
Ahmad, initially people said that if you've been in contact with somebody that traveled, if you traveled yourself,
yeah.
What should people be looking out for? Because we're looking at this 2-year-old now,
yeah.
So should the granny ask, you know, if they were in contact? And people will tell you, but yes, people that didn't travel, they were also affected in some way.
I think initially, so, you know, the World Health Organization had a set of guidelines basically to questions. But that as we find out more about this virus, the questions have changed, the goalposts has changed. So, you know, if somebody, so the basic questions is, have you got a temperature? But even that has changed now. Also, have you been in contact with somebody who's traveled lately? You know, we all know about the sore throat. So they're saying the sore throat is not your normal, it's even worse than a sore throat. Fever, that's the other one, and you just feel exhausted, you feel tired, and then later on obviously it affects your respiratory system. And most of us, we know what we normally like with a normal flu. Like I know I'm pup, but if I must get this virus, I'll be probably pup, you know what I'm saying? So if you know yourself but you are sicker than what you normally are, there's something wrong, don't go to the hospital. Call the hotline first. They will do an assessment and they will advise you.
I love it when you say, don't go to the hospital, call the hotline first. That is your first thing that you do.
If you feel you're concerned, you might have it, you might not have it, you have to call the hotline. They'll ask you set standard questions, and based on those answers, they'll say to you, yes, get in now, or isolate yourself at home, for example.
When you say isolate yourself at home, what is self-isolation? Tell us about it.
So self-isolation, you know, you try, and again, the social distancing is very important.
Yes.
I know a lot of our families don't have big houses when everybody, but I think if somebody's sick, can I ask families to even just prioritize? If it just means that person who is sick, put that person in a single room, open the windows, you know, make sure there's enough sun in there, there's ventilation in there, and don't be close to that person unnecessarily until that person feels a little bit better. Again, hand washing when you go into that room, when you leave that room, even for the person with these symptoms, hand washing and hand washing.
And what is the distance between yourself and somebody that shows symptoms?
I mean, there's people are saying 1 meter, but I'd say a lot of research is saying 1.5 meters as well. As long as it's not on top of one another.
So distancing is important. I mean, looking at supermarkets and, you know, standing in the queue to pay for your goodies, you need to tell the person, please don't follow me, just stay there until
I know. And I can also ask the listeners, if somebody asks, you must remember, a lot of people are very anxious about the situation.
Yes.
A lot of people are very scared. So if somebody asks you to move a little bit, don't take it personal. But also to those people who are asking somebody to move the distance, do it in the proper way. Don't be nasty, don't be rude, because people are very anxious and this thing is real. So put yourself in that person's shoes. Just be respectful to one another. This is new. This is scary for a lot of people. I don't think we realize how to fix people psychologically.
Ahmad, does that mean that your admissions would only come through emergency for now?
Yes.
Only emergencies,
unless otherwise discussed with the doctor or the nurse from that particular ward, nobody will come into hospital.
Okay. Yeah. Like you said, all elective surgeries, that has been put on hold as well. So for our listeners who's tuned in, who knows that they need to go to Groteske or any provincial hospital to have an operation or for any treatment, they need to make contact with them or they will call them.
The hospital will contact those people.
Okay. Any final words from your side, Ahmad, to our listeners this morning?
I think just to our listeners, all South Africa, but also across the world, you know what? This is serious, but there's no need to panic. We are putting false, fake news on all social media, and I think that needs to stop. There's too many stuff going around. And, you know, our young people, even our older people, you're putting those people in a situation where it's not comfortable for them. The concern about their health, we all should be concerned about their health. So stop the fake news. I spoke about the visiting time. I spoke about the social distancing. If people can just listen to that and adhere to that, because some areas you still have business as usual. Mm-hmm. Other countries in Europe, it's a complete lockdown. And we can see already there's a little bit of difference. We must follow in the same footsteps as well.
Ahmad, just a question. You know, Edmundstaff will be working throughout as well. So we're looking at the various OPD departments as well. Even though your nursing staff will not be there, but if my clinic is on a Friday, then obviously the admin staff will be there. So to cancel that appointment, would the onus be on the patient or will the hospital contact?
So there will be enough staff. There will be doctors, there will be nurses, there will be port. Everybody will be there. Okay. Just less than what we normally have. Mm-hmm. So if somebody comes, they won't be stranded there. Somebody will be there to guide and support them and also just to ask all the relevant questions.
Ahmad, then that number that you've mentioned, the hotline number?
The hotline number 021-428-9102.
That's 021-428-9102.
Yeah.
Ahmad, shukran so much for being in studio with us this morning. To our listeners, this is Ahmad Mohammed, Head of Nursing Department at Groteske Hospital. Very informative. Shukran so much.
Afwan, shukran.
You're welcome. Assalamu alaikum.
The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.